You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello all, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Callan, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall here for just the one event covered on the podcast this week. It's the ISPS Handa World Cup of Golf for you to get your tea stuck into. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting to the left of me, Dave Tindall. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, Dave.
And the man sitting to my right, Mike Grenham. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
It was a frustrating finale on the European Tour with the DP World Tour Championship as far as this studio is concerned. Matt Fitzpatrick, the eventual winner, but both Mike and Dave had big chances going into the final round on Sunday. I'll start with you, Mike. You had Tyrrell Hatton, who touched 1-10 at one point and made a wonderful par on 17. And then maybe the enormity of that affected him on the 18th tee and he drove into the water.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually see that, Dave, because I stopped watching when he hit the ball into the parts and into the bunker rather at the 17th. I had to go to a football match and I was just checking on the old app there thinking, go on, just birdie the last Tyrrell, and a bogey on a par 5 is not what you need, but he drove it into the water, as you say, and allowed Matt Fitzpatrick just to kind of sneak up on the blind side. Fair play to him for birdieing the last, actually, as well. So yeah, a bit frustrating that when they get that close. He looked like he was a certain winner at one point.
Yes, he did.
He looked like, I tell you, I don't know if you watched it, but there was one point where Fitzpatrick thought he'd lost his ball off the tee and played three off the tee. And the ball had actually bounced back into the primary rough and he'd have shot at the green. That was a two-shot swing, effectively. That, in hindsight, was the pivotal moment, other than driving in the water, which doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. And Dave, you had Victor Dubuis on, who was in the van on the final day, and it looked like for a while that he was going to win as well.
Yeah, he was the 54-hole leader. It all going to plan. And then I think the difference, I think I preferred Mike's hard luck story, because at least Mike got to watch lots and lots of good Tyrrell Hatton golf.
Where he was playing well.
Yeah, he was playing great. Yeah, he was holing everything. And Dubuis on, it was just like a slow death. Just kept hitting the green, kept having sort of these 8 to 12 foot, and just kept missing them all. And I was just going, oh. You know, if he'd put it half decent, you know, he would have bit, but, you know, ifs and buts and all that. But it was a frustrating afternoon. But he
Two places, though, Dave. Yeah. We both got placed, didn't we? So, yeah, it'd be nice. Both of them could have won, but they didn't. So we have to take it on the chin.
Only one winner every week.
Yeah, and Fitzpatrick was a good winner as well. Fitzpatrick appears to have put a bit of length off from the tee, doesn't he?
He does,
fantastic putting stroke. And he's going to win loads of big tournaments.
Temperament as well.
Yeah, great putting stroke. It's interesting that even though he's probably considered shorter than average, his wins, Woburn aside, have come on golf courses that appear to be suited to the longer hitter. Win at Bro Hofslot came on a course that in the lead-up most were talking about as suiting a big hitter, and that's why he went off at such a big price in that event in Sweden. And the Earth course this week or last week, another one of those where you're thinking length off the tee is going to be a factor, and tied 7th at Augusta earlier on in the season as well, another big hitter's golf course.
I think it's kind of now there's so much evidence that, you know, you can't fall into that trap anymore of thinking, oh, well, it might be a bit long for him, or he needs a sort of tight, fiddly course. Now he can win on these long courses as well.
He's a talented player, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you see him as a future major winner in the not-too-distant future, Mike?
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
He's a possibility, but no, I don't quite yet. But he's a good player. I'd put other players ahead of him, but he's got a lot of talent, for sure. Do you?
Yeah, I'm talking the next couple of years, really.
I can see him winning a major in his career. I'm not too sure he'll win one in the next 2 years. That might just be a bit early for him.
I like him for a US Open test where, if he does bulk up a little bit, where you've got to be, I know we always say this, don't we, fall into that trap of got to be long and straight, but I do like him in a US Open test because his short game's so strong.
Yeah.
Well, so he's not got many weaknesses, has he, now,
Fitzpatrick? I think more modern-day US Open that aren't the old school US Open. If you went into the rough, you had to be physically really strong to like whack it out, which is why you got people like Cabrera winning them and stuff. So on a sort of a less kind of what we think is a typical US Open course, I think you'd have every chance, yeah.
Quick word on the RSM Classic as well, which went into Monday, and Mackenzie Hughes, the man on everyone's lips pre-tournament, prevailed in a playoff. He was furthest away, putting for par on the 17th, but hauled from off the green, and the others, Vijegas, Barber and Norlander, all missed, and Billy Horschel missed a tiddler into the night before as well, to be eliminated from that five-man playoff. But Mackenzie Hughes was a man that couldn't have been further away from my mind, Mike Grenham, going into that event.
No, I wasn't I wasn't that close to picking him myself. Yeah, the less said about that, the better.
Didn't see a shot of it, to be honest.
No, I didn't see much of it either. Let's look at the World Cup of Golf then, and the latest odds here with William Hill. Australia, Scott and Leishman are 5-1 favourites. Japan, Hideki Matsuyama and Ryo Ishikawa, 7-1. The US, Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker, 7-1. Spain are 8-1. That's Rafa Cabrera Bello and John Rahm. 10-1, the English pairing of Chris Wood and not Lee Westwood, it's Andy Sullivan. And it's 12-1 and bigger the rest. Tournament has changed a lot over the years, Mike, and it's never quite worked out. Maybe because of its position in the schedule, some of the world's best players have chosen not to participate, but we've got some strong pairings in attendance this year, and the last time the World Cup of Golf was played was back in 2013, and the Australian pairing of Jason Day and Adam Scott took home the title.
Why has it not been played the last couple of years? Does anyone know?
Hasn't it just gone to alternate year now?
Is that what it is? It's every 2 years, is it?
Yeah, I think. Did it go 11, 13...
Yeah, this is 16, though, so I'm not sure why they didn't play it last year.
Maybe that's like some sort of exponential gap.
Maybe 4 years, if it's a World Cup. Yeah, what was the question?
Yeah. There wasn't a question, really. I'd not come to a question yet.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but let's debate why they've not held it.
Yeah, the event was played, when it was played in 2013, it was played at Royal Melbourne Golf
Club.
Yes, yes. This year's World Cup is hosted at the Kingston Heath Golf Club, which is in Melbourne. So you'd expect a similar dynamic as far as the golf course is concerned, a typical sandbelt Australian track. Maybe not going to be as firm and quick as fast as it has been or as we used to with the Australian tracks because the weather's not been typical for Australia at this time of year.
Tiger and Adam Scott have won here, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
In recent years. So they hit the ball quite a long way, I guess, the pair of them. That could be a bit of a... away in, but it's a bit difficult really to predict what attributes will be most important this week because most of the players haven't played here before. We haven't seen it an awful lot of. I know they've held Australian Masters here in recent years, a couple of them, but
yeah,
it does make it slightly difficult to pick the the kind of identical players to win, doesn't it? I guess so. I've gone for an outsider as the pairings, and I know most people will say that, as Dave Tindall said earlier, that one of the favourites should win, and that's probably likely. But I've rolled the dice and come up with a big price.
Is there any team who've actually got their two best players?
Have
a look at it.
Japan, would you say?
Holland? The Netherlands? I think I've got their
two
best players.
You're going a long way down there,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, you are going a long way down.
Might be right with Japan. I'm not. There must be a higher ranked.
Yes, I think there is.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I think there's probably
one. Oh, highest ranked. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he's been a bit up and down, hasn't he, of late?
Yeah.
But Matsuyama's playing very well.
There's no, like, absolutely big gun double whammy team, is it, like Scott and Day or anybody?
No, not this year.
South Korea, maybe Ann and Kim would be close, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so. There's 28 pairings and the format.
Belgium, Peters and Coulthard.
Peters and Lee, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And it's
good quiz, Dave. Thank you for that.
The only two golfers.
Like QI,
in
wasn't
Belgium.
It for a second there? Eh?
The only two golfers in Belgium.
Hercule Poirot. Yeah. He's third.
Yeah, Van Damme was next off the rank.
The top ranked player in each team got the opportunity to pick the other player in the team, didn't they? And that caused a little bit of controversy because Willett was the top ranked Englishman that had chosen to participate, and he'd chosen Westwood, but he dropped out. And then Wood came in as the next ranked, and he thought, I don't want Lee Westwood on my team. I'll take Andy Sullivan, as is his prerogative. It's his choice, isn't it?
It was a fair point, though, because Wood just went to the next man down.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened to be his mate, and Wood also said, well, no one kicked up a fuss when Willett jumped a few to get to Westwood.
It's ludicrous, isn't it?
So,
yeah. It's the wrong way around, the argument, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think if anyone's to feel affronted, it was Wood in the first place,
correct,
wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Really. They play alternate shot foursomes on the first and third days, and on the second and final days, it's four ball, so better ball. Are you looking for a team with two steady players then here, Mike, when you've got two rounds of foursomes?
Possibly, yes. I would say that is a possibility. Yeah, you need that. And guys who can be maybe good temperaments, not get annoyed when the other guy does something wrong, keep it together.
Bernd Weisberg will need a good temperament this week.
Yeah, who's Bernd playing with? Oh, yes.
I think he's about 1,315th or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a bit of patience is important, isn't it, and a good temperament.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And did you have an angle in then, Dave?
Yeah, I sort of went with that saying, you're only as strong as your weakest link kind of thing. So I looked at my first thing to do, would look at teams who had two players in the top 100 in the world rankings.
Okay. Have you got selections, Mike?
I've got one. I've got a selection outside here.
Dave Tindall?
Yeah, I've got one.
I've
close to two.
I've not got a pick.
You've not.
So I've got a couple I do want to mention.
Maybe we can force you over the line.
Perhaps so. Go on then, Dave. Go on then, Mike. You lead us
off. Oh, which way are you going?
Yeah, go on.
Well, I'm going to go with the outsider then. I'm going to go with the 66-1 shot. China is my pick. Got two players that have some success at the top end of the games. A couple of decent players. Wu Ashun is the Lioness, the reigning Lioness Open champion, no less.
Yes.
Has been in reasonable form with a top 25 in the HSBC, top 50 in the Turkish Open last time out. Was on a run of miscuts before that, to be absolutely fair. But this guy's won twice now on the European Tour. And if China Open form is relevant to this course, I'm in a really good place because he won it in 2015 and the other guy won it in 2016. Hoping for the best on that. But yeah, he's won on European Tour this year. He's an accomplished player. Hao Tong Lee, he won the 2016 China Open, so he's won on European Tour. He was actually second in the Turkish Open on his penultimate start and played pretty decently in the Nedbank as well recently. And some decent form for both these guys. You know, Lee, for example, was set top 10 in the 2015 HSBC and also has a little bit of form in Australasia, as you might call it, because he was fifth in the NZPGA back in 2013. But yeah, they're guys that have both got some form, you know, in good company over the last couple of years. I'm hoping that they can combine well together. Look, in a very small field, 66-1 as an each way bet just catches my imagination a bit. I like the bet. I think they could run a really big race if they're in form and they gel. I have no idea how close they are, but I'm guessing they know each other very well. You know, it's probably fair to say that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there aren't that many Chinese players on the tour. So, I'm very hopeful at 66s that, you know, they might not be good enough to win, but it's a fair old crack and 16.5 for a place.
Yeah, four places each way, quarter the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4 with the 28 runners this week. Dave?
Yeah, I think that's a good pick from Mike from that part of the market because you look at those around him, it's all lopsided. Russell Knox has picked Rod Stewart or somebody. Bradley Dredge, Peter Wondart Manley. There's kind of where those two Chinese players,
they could both play well, couldn't they?
Yeah, they both won.
Exactly. They're both top. They've both been in the mix. And, they might not be good enough here, but 66-1 is a fair price.
Yeah. I mean, just to mention the place terms, we are four places. You might have thought maybe it's, you know, like medal.
Yeah.
Gold, silver, bronze. But we've got four, so China hopefully will run into a place.
That's quite important when you're back in China, to be fair. If it was three,
yes,
it'd be less appealing.
Yeah, you'd be struggling. Yeah, they
four.
Might just sneak in there.
You could see them, you know, even if they don't win, a couple of the big guns maybe finish first and second, they might sneak third or fourth, you know. I don't think it's impossible that they win, you know, so we'll see.
Who are you going for, Dave?
I'm going to go for Ireland. They sort of fit the bill as having two players in the world's top 100.
Yep.
Shane Lowry, 42. Graham McDowell, 81. Although you'd say, you know, he's better than that, isn't he, really, Graham McDowell?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, so two strong players. I definitely think the format will suit them. Both players hit the ball straight. So I think in the foursomes, I think that's where you'll see Ireland making their move. It's just whether they can make enough birdies in the four balls, you know, against the likes of maybe like Belgium or someone you know, like Peters and Coltsatz could go mad in the four balls, but you know, hopefully Ireland can keep up. But I think they will make their move in these foursomes when they're just two steady players, hit it straight, if they get on a bit of a roll. So I like the angle that you've got two good, fine players there. McDowell is one of the very few in the field, apart from the two Aussies, who has actually played the course and played it well. He came eighth in the 2012 Aussie Masters, so he's got a bit of course form, which I like. If you look at their match play record, this is not individual because it's not really relevant, in team play,
yep.
They've lined up in all these sort of various ones, like the Seve Trophy, McDowell obviously Ryder Cup, Eurasia Cup. Both of them have got winning records, and I went through the entire field. Very few have.
Right, okay.
I guess it's difficult for some of them. You say, like, President's Cup players are always getting, you know, whacked by the Americans. But it's still impressive that McDowell and Lowry both seem to play well in this format.
They picked a good year to miss this year as well, didn't they?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Good point. So, yeah, just to give you those. So McDowell, his record in the team format, be it foursomes or four balls, 1-13, lost 6-3. So that's okay. A very big winning percentage. Lowry hasn't played a lot, but he's played just two, but he won them both. So right. Both got positive experiences there. I just think at 12-1, I do think it'll come from one of the bigger guns. Just mention them quickly. Adam Scott, he might drive Leishman mad. He might, you know, with his putting in foursomes.
I agree with that to a certain extent, but I just think that sometimes you get into this team format and it suddenly releases a lot of pressure, doesn't it?
He'd be happy with his ball striking, though, won't he?
Yeah,
Leishman.
Leishman will have a lot of
striking
shot
ball
puts,
like
won't
a dream, aren't
they? They're very clear and obvious deserved favourites, aren't they, Aussies?
Yeah, I agree.
But 5-1. I mean, you could back them each way and say, well, they'll definitely get in the top four. The United States, well, Jimmy Walker's been really off the boil, hasn't he, in sort of the last few times he's teed it up.
They didn't attract me, really, the United States.
So that's a bit. Japan, I know, Japan arrived there last week, so they've been practicing on the course for a whole week, so they're certainly putting a shift in.
And Matsuyama's the form player in the world, isn't he, at the
playing
moment?
Playing great.
Spain, you said you've got no pick. How is that possible when John Rahm's in this?
Yeah, I do like John Rahm, and I like Rafa Cabrera Bello as well, but 8-1 short, isn't it? 8-1 was just staggering.
Completely passed me by that it was Spanish until Dave was talking about this about a week ago. I just didn't. I had him down as American for some reason.
Just because players over there, went to college over there. But yeah, I thought they were too short in the betting. I was disappointed when I saw the price, in all honesty. I think they'll do okay in the four balls, but Rahm can be pretty erratic. So I think the foursomes, they might struggle a little bit.
Yeah, so it's the foursomes where I think that the fact that it's 50% foursomes, I think that's what just elevates Ireland a little bit for me.
The one team that I liked at the top of the betting that I nearly put up as a bet was Sweden.
I thought no one was going to mention them, I agree.
Can we put them in then? Because I think they've gone out since I looked.
Yeah, they've drifted from 10-1 to 12-1 now.
Do you want them or shall I have them?
No, you take them. Right. You take them. But I'll go through
why then.
Yeah, I'll go through why I like them. Norwin, obviously.
Joint pick.
Joint pick here. Won four times in the past 11 events. Lingmuth comes in with a bit of form as well, having finished inside the top 15 in the Nedbank Golf Challenge. I think Lingmuth's game is really suited to this type of golf, where you've got to drive the ball straight. And you look at where he finished in the Olympics on a firm, fast-running golf course, finished tied 11th there. And if it's tough, the better he is. He finished 12th at the US Open. I just think they'll be a really strong team in foursomes. It doesn't worry me too much that they haven't seen the golf course before. And Lingmuth, I think, has got a little bit of form in Australia, hasn't he?
I've got that down. Lingmuth was ninth in the 2015 Aussie USPGA, which is a nice one.
Yeah.
Even Norren's got a fourth back in 2008. Can't remember which course, but he's, you know, both of them have got a top 10 on Aussie soil, which I think is a nice little boost.
Yeah, so that was the pairing that I liked at the top of the betting, Sweden, Norren,
so
and Lingmuth.
All those reasons, and the fact that they've drifted. 10s was just about on my borderline, but 12s, I think, I'm put them in at that price.
Okay, anyone else catch your eye, Mike?
Sweden and South Korea of the market leaders, the top 10 in the betting, were the two that I liked. I suppose Denmark are reasonably priced at 20s as well, to be absolutely fair. But China will win, I think. So,
I like Denmark a lot, Kjeldsen and Olsen, because Olsen's playing well, obviously won the other week and played decently in Dubai as well. And you think about Australian courses, you sort of think links golf, don't you, as well? And Kjeldsen obviously has got that incredible links record. Olsen's played well on links courses in the past, so I thought they were a good bet. And just won a massive price. I quite like the Netherlands at 100-1. Joost Luiten playing alongside Darius van Driel. I must admit, Darius van Driel is not a player that I know a lot about.
Well, I don't know anything about him.
He's ranked 380th in the world, 27 years old, and he's not been a pro for that long, actually, and played very solid golf on the Challenge Tour last season. It is a huge step up in class, but he's found his feet on the lower tours. He was mixing it on the Alps Tour a couple of years ago, and after a string of runner-up finishes, got his win, graduated onto the Challenge Tour, had a really solid season to finish 34th on that tour last season. He could be well out of his depth here, Darius van Driel. But if he plays well enough to give Luiten chances, Loughton's in good form at the moment, top 20s in his last three starts. So at 100-1, that Netherlands pairing caught my eye, but that was about it for me, Dave.
Yeah, I had a look at Denmark as well, but Kjeldsen's form in Australia is a bit pants.
Is it?
Which is surprising. And he's played in this event five times and never got anywhere.
Really? The only thing I'll say about Kjeldsen's form is that he's one of those guys who's bounced back in the last year or two from a career dip, isn't he?
Yeah.
Some of his retrospective form, you know, doesn't look him.
Then a lot of time he played in the World Cup during a good part of his career.
Oh, did he?
And he got nowhere.
He is a bit like that, isn't he? He has peaks and troughs, and he's in a peak at the moment, or has been for the last year or so, I would say.
I did. I did look at France as well. Dubuisson and
Langasque.
Langasque.
Yeah.
Langasque. I don't know if you remember. He made the cut in the Masters, finished top 40, and shot 31 on the back nine coming home on the Sunday. So he's clearly a player, and he finished ninth on the Challenge Tour. So I think he's one who you look and go, oh, Dubuisson, he's drawn a bit of a turkey there, but he's a good player.
If we keep talking,
we'll bloody tip everyone in this event. What about Venezuela? How bad must the second Vegas be, by the way? They're 200-1.
Yeah, because the first one's playing okay at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's wrap up then, chaps. We are betting each way a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Your pick, Mike Grenham.
China!
China all the way, 66-1. Dave Tindall?
Point each way.
I'm going to back Ireland and Sweden, both at 12-1. Oh, stakes at those prices.
Half a 1.5 points each way on each, probably.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not having a bet, but I like Sweden and I like the Netherlands as my two mentions
Taipei
here. Not for me. Thanks, chaps, then. That's the World Cup of Golf. Remember to follow us all on Twitter, @dkellner, @mgrenham, @davetindallgolf. We're covering next week's event because that's Tiger's tournament, the Hero World Challenge.
And he's still meant to be playing.
And he's still playing at the time of recording this.
Have you read any rumours about him?
I've heard he's shot 63 round Seminole again.
And then someone said no, he wasn't even there that day. So
right.
Like, what's truth and what's...
It always happens, doesn't it? Every time Tiger's set to tee it up, you always hear about these fantastic rounds, and then 2 days before the tournament, you hear that he can't chip the ball anymore. Yeah. So we'll see what we get next week in the lead up to Tiger's event, and then we'll be taking a short break, and we'll be back for the Tournament of Champions, which is the first event
in the new year
of the PGA Tour. I think it starts actually.
We're having an early Christmas, aren't we?
Having an early Christmas. Thank you everyone for listening to the Golf Podcast. Do check out all the betting for the World Cup of Golf at williamhill.com, and we'll be back next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.